Is your influence for Christ positive or negative?
You are an influence for Christ, either a good influence or a bad influence. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself, and the Christian life is not to be lived in isolation. We're not to live the Christian life in a holy hole somewhere. We're not to live the Christian life just in the safety and the security of our church buildings, but we are rather to be salt and light in our world.
Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. I'm Scott Wilder. On today's program, Pastor Graham will look at the influence you are having as a follower of Christ. Now with his message called, The Christian is Salt and Light. Here is Pastor Jack Graham.
Today I want you to see what our Lord Jesus calls us as believers in Christ in verse 13 of chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our Lord Jesus used the words salt and light to picture the Christian. And so as we think about what it means to be a Christian and understand who we are in Christ, I believe there's one word that identifies what a Christian ought to be and how a Christian is described here as salt and light. And that one word is influence. Influence. Because you are an influence for Christ, either a good influence or a bad influence. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. John Donne said, no man is an island. And the Christian life is not to be lived in isolation. We're not to live the Christian life in a holy hole somewhere. We're not to live the Christian life just in the safety and the security of our sanctuaries, our church buildings, but we are rather to be salt and light in our world. Now, Jesus said, you are salt, believer. You are light. Now, the salt can lose its safe, and the light can be hidden under a bushel. But you are salt and you are light. Let's apply this, because these two terms describing the Christian, I think, speak, first of all, of the nature of our world. Because the Christian is to be salt in a decaying world. If you were to describe our world, perhaps you could choose the word decay. Because the moment sin entered our world in our original state, in the original parentage, when Adam and Eve sinned, the sin created death and caused death on the earth. And decay began to set in, and a process of decay. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans that from that time until this time, all of creation is groaning. And it's true spiritually as it is physically. When a human body dies, a living creature dies, the decaying process sets in. And when mankind sinned against God, death came, spiritual and eternal death. And as a result, the decaying process has entered our world. And so as a matter of fact, our world is not getting better and better and better and better. Our world is not evolving, and mankind is not evolving into some kind of a higher species, but rather our world and mankind in general is degenerating, de-evolving. And even in our times, people are finding new ways to foster and to fulfill their depravities, new ways to wage wars that are more violent than ever before, new kinds of crime. We're moving from sin to sin, and the spiral is forever downward. And so when the Bible speaks about the Christian being salt in the world, it reminds us that the basic structures of our world are decaying. The governments, the institutions of government are basically decaying. We look around us and we see that marriages are decaying. We see that churches are decaying. The influence of Christian churches is decaying in the world today. And so the world is decaying, and therefore salt speaks of the decaying of our world. The Christian is light, and this speaks of the fact that we're living in a dark world. Not only a decaying world, but a dark world. We're living in a world that claims to be enlightened. We're living in a world when there's more knowledge than ever before, and yet there is knowledge without wisdom. And there is knowledge without the knowledge of God. And it's true physically that darkness and decay work together in the process. And it's true in the spiritual world, it's true in the world at large, that the spiritual darkness and the spiritual decay work together. Have you ever noticed that when you're in the dark, everything is confused or confusing? Things look closer than they may be, or things cannot be distinguished as you would like to see them in the light. And that's the way people are living today, in this dark world. No wonder people are stumbling and falling and failing, because we're living in a dark world and we're living in a decaying world. Therefore, Jesus said, you are to be light in that world. Now, it's interesting, when Jesus said, you are salt and you are light, in both times, in both instances, He uses the plural. You, plural. Because one grain of salt has a very limited savor or very limited influence. One beam of light has a very limited influence. And therefore, as grains of salt, as beams of light, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And of course, light is different than the darkness. And if we're going to be effective in the darkness, we must make sure that our light shines brightly. Sometimes in our world, we look at the darkness, we look at the decay, and we want to throw up our hands in despair. But I remember when I was a little boy, there was a television program on. It was one of the original religious broadcasts of the 1950s. And it was a Catholic bishop by the name of Bishop Sheen. How many of you remember seeing Bishop Sheen on the television? And that old black and white television would come on before Bishop Sheen shared the program, and it showed a candle. And the voice of the announcer said, every week, it is far better to light a light than to curse the darkness. That's a great truth for us to remember. And as we look at the darkness of our world and the decay of our world, we need to make sure that we light up our lights. So, when we think about being salt and light, it reminds us that our world is full of darkness and therefore needs the light. It reminds us that our world is full of decay and therefore needs the salt. And therefore, the second thing I want you to think about with me tonight is the necessity of our witness. Because of the nature of our world, dark and decaying, there is therefore the necessity of our witness. And Jesus calls our witness salt and light. Now, just to take those apart a little bit, what does salt do? What does salt and light do? Well, salt and light penetrates. Salt will penetrate the meat or penetrate the substance and flavor. Light will penetrate the darkness. And the Christian is to penetrate and influence his particular area of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, there's great sin, but the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We're the light of the world, and therefore God doesn't put the light in just with the light somewhere, but to put the light in the darkness. You don't take a lighthouse and put it in the downtown of a metropolitan area. You take a lighthouse and you put it out on a dark shore somewhere to warn people and to show people the lights of home. You don't take the salt and just put it in a barrel somewhere and salt one another. You take the salt and spread it out so that it can do some good. God has given you an opportunity right where you are to share your faith. And God put you in your school, young people. God put you in your place of business. Maybe you're saying, well, why do I have to work in this evil place? Why do I have to go to school where I have to go to school? And nobody lives for God there. He has put you there as light and salt. And the Bible says, as you are going, share the gospel. Go into all the world literally means as you are going into your world, on your way, every day, be salt and be light and be sharing the gospel. And you can be anywhere as an influence, salt and light. Paul was in jail, but Paul said, I am in jail for the furtherance of the gospel.
You're listening to Jack Graham's message titled, The Christian is Salt and Light. Just a quick reminder, you can order a copy of today's message on CD on our website, jackgraham.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our extensive selection of products and gifts, as well as our archive of previous messages from Pastor Graham. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Before we hear the rest of Pastor Graham's message, don't forget, he wants to send you a very powerful CD series about the end times to thank you for your financial support of this PowerPoint broadcast. The series is called The Beginning of the End, and you can request it when you call with your donation. 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Well, today's message is called The Christian is Salt and Light. And once again, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
I remember when we went down to South Florida in 1981 to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church of West Palm Beach, I was warned by a number of people, you can't build a church in South Florida. Nobody goes to church in South Florida. But I want to tell you something. You can build a church and you can reach people for Christ anytime, anywhere the gospel is preached with power and conviction. And we watched over the years as our church doubled and then our church tripled down there, reaching 500, 600, 700, 1,000 people a year for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let any situation intimidate you, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. We don't have to back up or shut up about our gospel, because our gospel changes lives. And we are salt and we are light. Don't tell me they can't be reached. They can be reached. Sort of like that fellow who went to, he was sent by his company over to Africa. He'd been over there a few months and he said, man, bring me home. He was a shoe salesman. Wrote back and said, bring me home. Nobody wears shoes over here. So they brought him home and they sent another fellow over there. He was there about 2 or 3 weeks and wrote back and said, send me all the shoes you can send me. Everybody over here is a prospect. It's all in the matter of seeing people who have a need. So salt penetrates. Light penetrates the darkness. And we too often spend our time lighting up the lights and salting the salt and enjoying our experiences together in big salt shakers called sanctuaries rather than spreading out the salt and putting the light in a dark place. I'll tell you something else salt does. Not only does salt penetrate, but salt and light purifies. Salt in particular hinders corruption. And your presence in this world, Christian, like salt, ought to bring a purifying effect to this world. We're to not be like the world, but we're to live in the world. And your very presence in your school, your very presence in your office, your very presence in your home ought to have a godly and purifying effect upon people around you. And you ought to so live. I'm not talking about being a goody two-shoes or being some kind of a holy Joe, somebody who's too pious. But you ought to be so godly that people don't talk around you the way they might talk ordinarily. That people don't do things around you the way they might do things ordinarily. Because you have a purifying effect and a helpful effect upon this world. One of these days, the world is going to get what the world thinks they want, which is no more churches, no more Christian influence. Because one day the church is going to be raptured and the world's going to get what they've always wanted. No more Christians. But when they get what they want, they're not going to want what they get, because all hell's going to break loose on the earth and there'll be no Christian to run to and no hope or no help from God's people. So a Christian like salt ought to purify. I'll tell you something else. You know, salt creates thirst. If you eat enough salt, you'll be thirsty. And as Christian salt, as believers, we ought to flavor our world. We ought to freshen our world, but we ought to also create a need for Christ by our very lives. Remember that woman at the well who met Jesus, and he spoke of that water, that living water? And she said, "Oh, give me some of that water." She was thirsty for the real thing. And most people who are living on things that are artificial, things that do not satisfy, need the living water. And therefore, if you'll be salt, if you'll live for Christ, you can create a desire, a thirst for others to know Christ, where others will begin to want what you got. But let me tell you something else salt will do. Salt will sting a wound. Salt will sting a wound. And there's a sense in which the Christian stings a wounded world. There ought to be the element of the Christian being a conscience to the world. And being salt and light to the degree that we expose darkness and sting sin and the wounds of this world. In other words, we ought to speak up in our society when our society is decayed. But so often, Christians, we sit in our churches and we let the world go to hell. And we let our society decline and our culture decline and decline and decline because we don't speak up. I think Christians ought to speak up and count for Christ and sting the wound. Make a difference for Christ where you are. Salt and light for our world. Well, I've got to conclude this message, but I want to conclude it, therefore, with a needed warning. A needed warning. Jesus suggested that salt could lose its flavor. Salt could lose its savor. He's not talking about losing your salvation, but losing your influence. And he said, therefore, it's just good for nothing. And many Christians are like that. They're good for nothing. They're not using their influence for Christ. They're like salt in a salt shaker on a shelf. And then Jesus said a light can be hidden under a bushel. The only thing that can diminish the light is to cover the light. And so we are often covered up. And we need to make sure that our light shines. And the wick of our witness is to be fueled by the oil of the Spirit, lest our light be overcome. Now notice why we're to shine. That men may see our good works and glorify us. Is that what it said? No. That men may see our light and our good works and glorify God in heaven. And the reason that we're to shine, and by the way, Jesus didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let your light shine. It's not something that we force. We just let it shine. It was said of the great mystic Fenelon, if one man was speaking about Fenelon, and he said, if I spend another day with that man, I will become a Christian in spite of myself. I wonder if anybody could say that about you. I wonder if anybody could say to you, young man, because of your life and your testimony, even though I didn't think I wanted to be a Christian, didn't even want to think about it being a Christian, because of your testimony, because of your light, because of the salt of your life, I want to be a Christian. I want to glorify God. How about you, young lady? What about you, businessman? Is your influence for Christ shining, salting your world?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, The Christian is Salt and Light. Remember, you can order a copy of today's message on our website at jackgraham.org. When you're online, be sure to shop our e-store or stream previous messages from Pastor Graham to help you grow spiritually. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And don't forget to check out our new PowerPoint iPhone app. You'll have access to 20 years of messages for free and be able to read Jack Graham's blog with the PowerPoint iPhone app. You can download it now at jackgraham.org. And let me remind you that Pastor Graham's special series of 10 messages on CD called The Beginning of the End is our gift to thank you for your donation to support PowerPoint. So call now with your gift and request your copy of The Beginning of the End. 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. And thanks for your support, which helps us continue broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ on this station. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Today we discovered that the Christian is salt and light. Now, you may be wondering just exactly what that means. What it means is that you, as a follower of Christ, you have influence. And the question is today, what does that Christian influence look like in your life? Or to put it even more plainly, are you a good or bad influence to those around you? I want to remind you of Jesus' words in Matthew 5:13 and 14. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, yes, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. When you think about salt and light, what do? They penetrate. Salt penetrates the substance and the flavor of the meat, and light penetrates darkness. I want you to remember that our world is full of darkness. Our world is in desperate need of the light of Jesus Christ, and you are that light. Our world is full of decay, and it is urgent that we be the salt of the gospel. And what this means is the world needs your influence for Christ, and this world needs it right now. So as a believer, are you penetrating your particular area of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you showing Christ off in how you think, how you speak, how you react to stress and problems, how you serve others? Are you really salt and light in a decaying and dark world? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's time that we become what Jesus says we are. Maybe today you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never invited Him into your life, receiving forgiveness and the free gift of eternal life. So right now, wherever you are, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I do invite you to come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. And right now, I do receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I pray that I will follow you in the power of your Holy Spirit all the days of my life until you come for me. Now, if you pray this prayer and with honesty and sincerity invite Jesus into your life, then welcome to the family of God. And I would personally love to hear about your decision and give you some materials to help you get started in your relationship with Christ. So, Scott, would you mind telling our listeners how to receive these materials?
Sure, Pastor. You can call us at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. And let me remind you that we'll thank you for your financial support of PowerPoint by sending you a special CD series from Pastor Graham called The Beginning of the End. So call now with your donation and request your copy. 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. And join Pastor Graham next time as he talks about your role as a soldier of Christ.
We have discovered that as believers, we are the children of God, sons and daughters. We have also discovered that our identity means that we are salt and light to this world. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. I want us to make the wonderful discovery that a believer, a Christian, is a soldier. A soldier. For in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy and in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, if you are familiar with your Bible, you know that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are many military metaphors that describe the believer's life, describing the Christian. We see these metaphors over and over again in the Scripture. And of course, that was common terminology because the people of that time were constantly confronted with armies and soldiers and military bands. And in the Scripture, over and over again, we are called to conquest. We are called to commit ourselves to spiritual battle. We've also seen that in the history of the church and in the fellowship of the church and in the worship of the church, as some of our greatest songs have mentioned this military aspect of our faith. Great songs like Victory in Jesus, or songs like Faith is the Victory. And so as believers, we are to see ourselves as soldiers of the cross, committed, confident, courageous, fit, and marching not on the defensive, but always strategizing and always aggressively advancing and taking new territory from the enemy.
That's on the next edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham.